The Layup Line.
Welcome to The Layup Line. It is Tuesday night, January 6th, and I am joined by my good friend Tony Hogan to talk about a whopper of a trade for the Cavaliers. And, you know, on social media today, I saw that people were just kind of going back and forth about it, and I even put out a little bit of my thoughts on Facebook. But it seems to be the hot topic going around is the trade that the Cavs made last night to get rid of Dion Waiters. And so I just thought we could talk about it. I wanted to actually go through with you, Tone, and break down exactly what the trade is, including like the first round pick, and then kind of look at what that means for our roster and how that stacks up against the rest of the Eastern Conference. So we'll go through that, but I got to ask you just straight up, what were your thoughts on the trade? Were you surprised?
I wasn't surprised after what I heard about Dion Waiters in the locker room. Then,
well, what did he say? What did he talk about?
He was talking a bunch of nonsense about he's better than Kyrie Irving. I guess he's been going head-to-head with Blatt the whole time.
Can I just interrupt you for this?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
He's delusional. Yeah. Kyrie's not the best point guard in the East, but he's the best ball-handling scorer I've ever seen in my life for someone that size. So for Dion Waiters, that's just so delusional, it's comical. That's probably why he's not here, but keep going.
Okay, so first off, I was a little upset we didn't get a big guy. That kind of shocked me the most with the injury to Varejao. But then after thinking about it overnight and this morning, I really like the trade.
You like it?
I like Shumpert. And I feel like J.R. Smith is the same thing as Dion, just a better teammate.
Yeah, so you're saying you're good with the trade?
I'm good because I really like Shumpert's size and athleticism and defense that he brings.
So
that we're lacking.
Yeah, like here's the thing: when the trade first came across, well, here's first of all, a lot of Cavs fans are kind of Cavs fans, but this isn't to knock anybody. They have more important things to do than we do, but they don't actually understand the NBA. Like, I think most people, when this came across, they were like, oh, wow, the Cavs traded Dion for J.R. Smith and some guy named Shumpert. He was almost like Shumpert's just throwing that. Unless you really follow the NBA, like, you probably wouldn't know who he is.
Probably not.
He's a third-year guy from Georgia Tech who's playing for the Knicks, who are like 5-28. He's actually probably a better rapper than a basketball player at this point. If you don't know Ivan Shumpert, like, he's a legitimate rapper. People would say of any professional athlete in the world, he is the most musically gifted. So that's what we're getting. Are you excited about that?
Yeah.
Maybe him and Machine Gun Kelly?
Him and Machine Gun Kelly could get a little mixtape.
And Bone Thugs?
Bone Thugs.
No, anyway, what I'm saying is this. When it scrolled across last night, the first reading was like the Cavs got rid of Dion for J.R. Smith. And I was like, come again? Like, wait a second. You mean we traded one knucklehead chucker for another knucklehead chucker? And then as the thing kind of came out, the full trade, it was like, oh, Ivan Shumpert was the target. J.R. Smith was the Knicks throw-in because they're trying to clear space. And then the pick from Oklahoma City. And so I'm kind of like you. The trade grew on me.
That's a good word.
It grew on it. So what would you say, Tone? Tell me about what you would think the Cavs' two or three biggest needs were prior to the trade being made.
I think the biggest need was a rim protector, big guy.
Okay.
And then a small forward shooting guard defender.
Yeah.
Which I think Shumpert is perfect
for
that role. Now, I still think we need a big guy in the long run, but for right now, I really like Shumpert, like I said, because of his defense.
Yeah. So I agree 100%. So if you're listening, let's just break this down. The Cavs, as constructed prior to Dion getting traded, our biggest needs were, I'm going to say three of them.
Okay.
First is clear as day, a big. Like, you need a rim protector, an athletic big man. Second would be an athletic wing defender. Third, I'm going to say, is a backup point guard. And we'll get into that a little bit. But I'm going to call out Brett Smith on this one. Smitty has been telling me all season how, especially when he was hurt, how valuable Dellavedova was. And I made fun of him. And then I apologized to you on air, Smitty, and said that I was wrong, like he is valuable. And now I'm coming back at you, and this dude should be in the D League.
In the He's an anemic NBA player.
He's
hard to watch in the NBA.
And, like, this is nothing personal against him.
Nothing, no.
But when we go through who he's going to have to match up with in the Eastern Conference for the playoffs, it's laughable. And so we'll get to that. But so our biggest needs were definitely big man, athleticism on the wing, and then a point guard. So we addressed probably the second biggest need. And if you don't know who Iman Shumpert is, I want to tell you who he is. So he's a shooting guard, pretty decent size, out of Georgia Tech. He's in his third year. Came into the Knicks in 2011 or 12. And he was like, right away, he was a rookie of the year candidate. Like, he came out really strong.
Yeah.
It was kind of when the Knicks had that, like, half a season of resurgence, and they looked great. And people were really high on Iman Shumpert. And then he's faded a little bit, had some injuries. Like I said, he's rapping.
Tore his ACL.
He tore his ACL against the Heat. I mean, so he's been through some stuff. But the bottom line is this. He instantly – I don't know how athletic LeBron – let's just exclude LeBron from this conversation. Excluding LeBron, we now have the best athlete on the team, and his name's Iman Shumpert.
Exactly.
That's probably not debatable. So that's who we got. And we have a guy now that can at least – match up with athletic wing players and play some D. He's a guy that can go at guys like Jimmy Butler. You can throw him on D-Wade. Like, that's who he is. And so we didn't bring him here for his scoring. We brought him here for his defense and his athleticism. So I'm fine with that. So on top of that, then we threw in J.R. Smith, who is essentially an older version of Deion.
Yeah.
So basically, we got rid of Deion, who seems to be a cancer. And I mean, I don't want to say he seemed a little toxic.
He's a cancer.
I mean, there's just – when there's smoke, there's a fire usually, right? Yeah.
I mean, even from the start of the year, you heard stuff about when he got benched, he was just pouting and staying in the locker room doing his praying or whatever, which was crap.
Yeah.
And you can tell that people don't like him on the team.
Yeah.
Just from, like, the on-the-court relationships that everyone seems to have with him.
Yeah. Can I talk about that for a second?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
All right, now,
just the chemistry rant?
The chemistry, like, I just want to rant about this for a minute.
Hey, go ahead.
Because here's the problem. If you look at I want to list the teams who I think are legitimate NBA contenders right now. And I want you to see there's a couple common threads in it. I'm going to list out of the East. I think the Wizards are legitimate finals contenders. I think that the Bulls are going to win the East personally. So I'm going to say those two end up ahead of Atlanta. I just don't see them Atlanta beating either of them. So I'm just going to pick those two, Chicago and Washington, as my favorites in the East. And then I'm also going to – let's just look out West. You got Golden State, Oklahoma City. You got San Antonio. I mean, we could go through that whole lineup, all those guys. There seems to be one common thread in this. Those guys actually seem to be friends. Like the Splash Brothers, like they're friends. Like the Bulls, like as much as they've been through with D. Rose, like the coolest part about that is like watching Noah and those guys like defend him till their deathbed. Like they just like playing with each other. You watch Bradley Beal and John Wall interact. It's like they're best friends just playing basketball together. That's who those teams are. The Cavs are not that way.
No, they're not playing FIFA on Thursday night.
No, they're not. They're not hanging out. I don't think they're hanging out. I don't think Kyrie and Deion could even stand being in the same room together. So let me just say this. If you can't hang out and be in the same room with your teammates, there's absolutely a cap on how good you guys can be. And I believe that with all my heart. And I think as they were constructed, there's just no way with that type of chemistry that you're going places. You look at the teams who have won in the last – even 8 to 10 years, you had, excluding the Kobe and Shaq feud, which was just, they were so freaking talented.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. But since then, you've had the Lakers win again when Kobe seemed to embrace a little bit like, oh, I can be a teammate now.
As much as he can. Yeah.
And then you have had the Mavericks, who are like the ultimate like buddy-buddy team. The Spurs, same thing.
The Heat
were like best friends.
Yeah, they were.
And so there's this thing of like, there's this precedent that you legitimately have to like who you're playing with, I believe, to be an NBA championship team. And I don't think that you can be sure that the Cavs had that. And I think that's a problem. So, I mean, I played in high school, in college, and I've been on teams that really liked each other, and then I've been on teams where, like, you legitimately didn't like who you're playing with. And, like, I can't even I can't even put into words how important that is. Like, when you go to practice every day and you're excited, well, number one, when in college you're going to practice with the guys that you're living with because they're your roommates and best friends, like, it's just an extension of your friendship. And you can fight and you can bicker and you can get into these basketball wars, but you know at the end of the day, like, hey, this person actually cares about me and they got my back. And when you don't have that, and I've been in situations where with teammates and stuff that hasn't been the case, man, it wears on you. And it's a massive thing to overcome. And so I think there's always people that are we're standing up for Deion. He could be this. He could be this. And, like, that's true. But if you don't grasp the fact that it's not always about basketball, a lot of the times it's just about personnel and meshing. If you don't understand that, then you might not understand this trade. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say you don't understand how to play basketball either. Because wouldn't you agree that that's a huge part of it?
100%. Yeah. I mean, if you don't like the people you're playing with, it will affect your playing tenfold. Like, yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, there has to be trust. And and I don't think the Cavs had that between each other. And I don't think they have that with the coach. But
I don't mean to put it on one man's shoulders. I think it was Deion's fault, though.
I think a part of it was
so,
a
big part of it. I think this will help a lot.
Yeah. I think what we've seen as Deion's the whole time here has been that he probably had a time clock on him. Like, it seemed like this couldn't last, and he just rubbed too many people the wrong way, and he was on the way out. And so I think he's finally on the way out. I'm actually excited for him to be gone. I didn't love watching a shooting guard with a bad attitude shoot 37% and take 20-foot step backs. Like, I just like, I didn't find that fun to watch. So I'm cool. I'm cool with that. All right? So I do want to do this, though. Let's just break down what each team got out of this trade.
Okay.
And then kind of assess where the Cavs are at from now. Okay, so the trade's made. We ship Deion. So Oklahoma City gets who?
They get Deion Waiters.
Now, how's that go with you?
I think this will be actually good for them as much as we've been knocking Deion. I think they've been looking for a James Harden for a while, and I think he might fit that role, being the sixth man off.
But not James Harden. He's not
no,
James
no, no,
Harden.
No. Yeah. But like the James Harden role that they had before,
yeah.
The sixth man off the bench for scoring, which I think is what they're missing.
Yeah.
So I think he fits that role. Kevin Durant said on Twitter that we're welcoming him, which he doesn't believe Deion's had for a while, which is probably true.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a good fit for Deion.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think that the Thunder's problem is they haven't had, like, a fifth or sixth guy that could legitimately play basketball. Like, they were starting Derek Fisher in NBA playoff games or playing him down the stretch. Like, so now you have Deion. I think it's a good – I mean, I think it's – for a shooting guard with a questionable attitude and a questionable shot selection and a poor percentage, like, it's probably as good a fit as he can find, because now he's surrounded by people who are better than him, clearly. And, like, Russ will scream at him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Kyrie's a little non-conference. Yeah. Like, Russ, I wouldn't be surprised if Westbrook punched him in the face in a game.
I don't know if you watched that HBO series.
A little bit.
They fight. Like, they go at it.
Yeah. And, well, they all do.
Yeah, I know. But I seen, like, Kevin Durant and Russ, they get into it. Yeah. So I think that'll be good for Deion.
And that's healthy. Like, I used to get in fights all the time with teammates. One time Goddard tried to punch somebody in practice. So that happens. That happens, but I think that's a good fit for Oklahoma City. I think it's a good fit for Deion. Like, as much as I don't love him for the Cavs, like, good for him. Like, he's going to a team that, when healthy, is a legitimate NBA title contender, and I think he'll do well there. So that's who they get. They're giving us their first-round pick. Let's just talk about what this means. So it's top 18 protected in this year. So what that means is, as long as Oklahoma City doesn't finish in the top 18 of, like, how many NBA teams? Like 30 or 32?
Yeah.
Then we will get their pick. So they're going to make the playoffs. They're probably just going to keep climbing and probably end up 8, 7, 6, something like that. So I think that this is a very realistic thing that we're going to get their first round pick. And if that doesn't happen, then next year it's protected to 15. And if they're healthy next year, they're going to be a top five. Like, they're going to be top five teams. So that'll easily be a pick that comes to us. So out of this, we're getting rid of Deion. We're getting a first-round pick, J.R., or Shumpert and J.R. And then the Knicks, I would say that they're a huge winner too, because they're horrible, and now they've freed up like $20 million for Phil Jackson.
So, the man to just – the Zen master to work his magic.
Right? Yeah, I don't think anyone really got screwed on this trade.
No, I think it was a fair trade for everybody.
Like, sometimes people's pockets get picked. Like, like when I've still never forgiven Jerry West for just giving LA Pau Gasol.
Yeah.
I mean, that was unbelievable. There wasn't anything like this. Like, I think step back and it's like that's a decent trade for every team involved. I do want to give you just some stats. Tone, why don't you read Deion's stats? Let's do this season career, and then we'll compare them just so people kind of grasp what we're getting.
So this year, Deion Waiters is averaging 10 points, 40% from the field, and then 25% from three.
Okay.
His career is 13 points per game, 42%, and then 33% from three-point.
Okay.
So his numbers are a little down this year.
A little down.
Shumpert is about 8 points a game, 39% shooting, 35 from three. But like we said, he's more...
That's career.
Yeah, that's career.
Okay.
And then J.R. Smith is 11 points per game, 40% from the field and 36% from three, which is about his career.
So it sounds like basically they all shoot about the exact same numbers.
About the same.
So we didn't really upgrade any shooting. I would say that J.R. Smith's a better long-distance shooter than Deion, and the numbers show that. But I don't, like, just so you're clear, like Cavs fans, like this was a defensive trade. This was an athleticism trade, and this was an attitude trade. And it's scary to think that you're getting rid of a bad attitude and then bringing J.R. Smith in, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily worse than Deion.
I think he's old enough to buy into the system and understand what he's there for.
Yeah. And so I think when you look at it, basically you swapped Deion and JR like the exact same player almost. One's a better shooter, and then you get a great athlete out of it and a first-round pick probably next year. And I think that's a good spot. I just want to talk about this for a second. And we said, like you addressed it earlier and I touched on it, like the Cavs' main need is a big. And so if you like listen to – I mean, you got to have your ears filled with dirt if you haven't heard anybody talking about, oh, the Cavs need a big. Well, the problem is this. How many times do you hear NFL teams be like, well, they need a quarterback?
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And somehow with 6 or 7 billion people on this earth, it seems like only about 14 of them can play NFL quarterback. And so I think as a Browns fan more than any, we grasp the fact that like – you might need a quarterback, but that doesn't mean there's a quarterback out there to get. And so when we say, oh, we need a big, it's like, oh, yeah, there should be lots of 7-foot-1 guys that are really athletic and can plug in this team. And it's like, oh, wait, there's only 6 and they're all signed?
Yeah, there's really nothing available.
There's nothing. Nothing. I mean, nothing. And so people will toss around names like Mozgov and
– we're not getting them.
And Costa Kufas and Samuel Dalembert. Here's what you got to realize. I don't know how the money works. I'm not sure if we can even fit those guys in. Number two, they're not the solution. They're like plugging your finger into a hole that water's leaking through. Like temporarily, it might do it, but it's not the solution.
You might as well just bring Z back. I mean, there's just nothing. Those aren't the answers.
Tone said that we should bring Zajunas Agauskas back. You know what? Why not, right?
Why not?
But so here's the thing. Like I heard people complaining that the Cavs' biggest need is a big. Deion Waiters was their biggest trade piece, and they traded him and didn't get a big. Well, I would say to you this. There's no way they were getting a big. And I think that Deion's value is dropping, if anything.
Oh, it was dropping
fast. And so
fast.
They got rid of him. They got some decent stuff back. And then I think they're going to have to legitimate wait till the offseason to get anybody. Like, I think that's a 1 or 2 year thing before you can get another good big man. And that's just kind of is what it is. That makes me wonder, like, let me just ask you a quick question. Conspiracy theory here.
Okay.
Where do you think LeBron's mind is at? Do you think he thinks that this team can win this year?
I don't think he, right now, no.
You think that he would think we cannot win this year?
We cannot win this year, an NBA championship. Because of what we just said.
Yeah.
They don't have a big. I mean, at Miami had Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
Who is a perfect big guy for what they need.
And I apologize to Chris Bosh because I think the world owes him an apology. We were talking about chemistry. You want to talk about sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
He basically people wouldn't even refer to them as the big three because they thought he sucked. And basically he just said like, hey, I'm going to sacrifice. And D-Wade too. Chris Bosh could be 24-12 on anybody.
He was a stud on the Raptors.
Yeah, and he is now when he's healthy.
Yeah.
But that's the chemistry thing. And we're not going to go back into that again. But so there is this like thing of a big man that can actually be effective. And I think LeBron grasps the fact that like we don't have that, and we're not going to get it, and you're not going to win until you get it. Yeah. And I think when we all heard LeBron was coming back and we got the new big three, I think we'd all been spoiled by how unselfish and how perfect that thing worked in Miami, or even in Boston for that little stretch, that we all just assume like this is it's going to work here too. There's the blueprint. You put three guys together and this works. And it's like, well, those guys also had Doc Rivers, Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley. We got David Blatt and David Griffin and Dan Gilbert. And we have an organization that's never won.
Do you like Dave Griffin?
I don't have an opinion on him yet. Like, I don't want to trash the guy, but I'm not going to sing his praises. Like,
yeah, I'll give you that.
I mean, I think sometimes LeBron's the GM, and that's a whole different podcast we're not even going to get into. some of the moves they make, it's like they're catering to LeBron too much, I think. But I just think that we watched how that went in these other situations where you put three all-stars together and you just assume, like, oh, this is going to work.
Yep.
And it's like, nah, that might not happen here. And instantly this, oh, one-year thing, we're going to be in the NBA Finals, is like, well, this might be a 3-, 4-, or 5-year thing, you know? And that's a very realistic possibility. At least I would say this. If LeBron doesn't actually kind of grasp that, I would think he's a little naive, because I've grasped that at this point. Like, just so you know, like, we are not winning the NBA championship this year. We are the 5th, 6th best team in the East. We're going to go through who we're going to play in the East, and it's not pretty. And that's just to get to even play the West, where we're like, would be like the 11th best team. And so if you think that this team is winning the NBA championship, I would say you're crazy. And that doesn't make me not a Cavs fan. I think it makes me a realist. But
like you said, we don't match up well with the top 4 teams.
So let's just
the whole East.
Tone, read through the Eastern Conference top 5 standings right now.
Atlanta's in first. Chicago's a game and a half back. Toronto's 2 games back. Washington's 3. And then the Cavs are 7.5.
And then Milwaukee's 8.5. Brooklyn's 10.5. And the 8th seed's Miami, who's 11.5 back. So right in front of us, we're the 5 right now. Washington's the 4. But they're 4.5 games ahead of us. Now, I might not seem a lot to you. That's a pretty big gap. I mean, we're almost halfway through the season, and they got a pretty substantial lead. I would say to you that I don't think that we end up any higher than 5th.
I think 5th.
4th at the absolute – the theory of like, oh, man, we're gonna lose 1 or 2 games at home all year. We're going to get home court advantage, be the number 1 seed, and everyone's going to have to come through Cleveland. Like, that's just not happening. We've been outrageously susceptible at home. We might not have home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs.
Just looking at the standings, I would put money on it we don't.
Yeah.
I think this 5th seed is exactly where we'll be.
I think we'll be 5th.
Playing probably Toronto or
Washington. Maybe even Chicago if they would have some injuries.
Depends on their injuries, but.
So this is where it gets scary. And I wanted to put this together, not to be a Debbie Downer, but to be a realist and just kind of talk about where we are at.
The matchups.
So let me go through the Cavs' top. This is trade included, kind of our top 9. So starting, we got Kyrie at the 1, Shumpert at the 2, I'm assuming when he's healthy, LeBron at the 3, K-Love at the 4, and Tristan probably at center. Coming off the bench, we'll have, in any type of order, J.R. Smith, Mike Miller, James Jones, Dele, Sean Marion. Okay.
Mm.
Nah, not the strongest. That doesn't give you a warm feeling when that's your bench, does
No,
it?
I don't. And then you got freaking Hayward coming
in. And Brandon Hayward. Is it Hayward? It's Haywood. Brandon Haywood.
My bad.
He's not Cameron Hayward.
Hey.
Might as well be. So I just want to go through the top 4 teams and just show you who we are probably matching up with in round 1. Just to put things in perspective of where this Cavs team is at year 1. Okay. So if we would drop to the 8th seed and the playoffs would start with Atlanta at 1, their front line is Millsap, Horford, and that monstrous dude, Pero, I think it's Antic?
Yeah, Antic or something.
Antic. If you haven't seen him, he looks like Mr. Clean, like a 7-foot version of him. So we're going to go up with Horford, Millsap, both almost all-star level players, and that monstrous Antic or whatever. And we're going to throw out Brandon Haywood, mm-hmm. Kevin Love, who's like 6'8", and Tristan, who's 6'9". That's not a good recipe.
Against probably the most physical big men in possibly the league.
Yeah. Now, that's an issue. Also, I want to look at who the team's front lines and the point guards. Because this is, I think, our two needs. We said is our bigs and our point guard. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go out there with Kyrie, who I think I take him head-to-head with everybody, and he holds his ground. I think he's awesome. I'm a big Kyrie fan. I am not a Matthew Dellavedova fan.
Not at all.
I don't think he has any place on a championship-level team. Because if you look at Atlanta, they got Jeff Teague, who is – he's been a Cav killer. This year. He's a beast. And then their second stringer is Schroeder.
Who is very underrated.
That dude is going to be a monster. Now, he's got a funny-looking head. Have you looked at him? Yeah. It looks like he was – he looks like – can I say this? He looks like a black Chucky. Like, yeah. He's a little terrifying. You know what? I probably shouldn't have said that. But regardless, he will eat Dellavedova for lunch, dinner, and then breakfast in the morning.
And a late-night snack. He is a baller, and he's young.
We're in trouble. If we would match up with Atlanta in round one, I don't think we're favored in that. And we're not having home court advantage. Second team, and this is the one that gives me chest pain. I've heard people say, I don't know if Chicago's that great. I want to read to you Chicago's front line. Joakim Noah, Pau Gasol, Mirotić, and Taj Gibson. So it's like, oh, Noah's in foul trouble. Oh, it's all right. We got Gasol, Mirotić, or Taj Gibson to play in. All four of them would start
on the Cavs. And you could easily say Noah Gasol are within top five centers of the league.
It's scary. And then their point guards are Rose, who were – I mean, for basketball's sake, I'm hoping is healthy.
He's fun to watch when he's healthy.
And then Mighty Mouse Aaron Brooks. Do you know what Aaron Brooks would do to Delly?
He would eat him for breakfast,
lunch, dinner, and a late-night snack.
I mean
– guys – if we have to match up with Chicago, that's a five-game series at most. 4-1 them. I mean, I'm telling you, we're in trouble against them. Toronto's, their bigs go Jonas Valanciunas, Patrick Patterson, James and Amir Johnson. And then their point guards are Vasquez and Lowry. I just don't like
that. It's a little better, but it's better, but not good great. At all.
And then Washington's throwing Nene, Gortat, and Chris Kardashian Humphreys out there.
I hate him. He's my least favorite player.
He's pretty good, though.
He is not bad.
You know what, though? Tanya always watches that Kardashian show on the Eid, so like sometimes like we're lying in bed, like I'll watch it with her. And when her and Chris Humphries were dating, like he got a lot of crap for it, but basically their marriage didn't work out because he was like, I actually want to be good at basketball. She was like, I want you to move here and we'll do all this stuff. He's like, I just want to live in Minnesota and work on my basketball game in the offseason. So like, I think he's like a legit NBA player. And between him, Nene, and Gortat, you think the Cavs are favored against them in a seven-game series?
No, and then they got the timeless wonder, Andre Miller, coming in off the bench.
The timeless wonder with John Wall and then Bradley Beal and Paul Pierce.
I mean, it's a disaster matchup-wise for the Cavs. I don't even know what to do this season. Like you said, I think it's a couple-year project here.
Yeah. And here's my thing. It's like, I just want to be realistic about it, and I was naive, and I take my responsibility for thinking that the Cavs were instantly a finals favorite. They're not. They're probably the fifth best team in the East. I think that's probably where they finish. They're a big man away. They're another point guard away. They're offensive chemistry away. They're a defensive
everything
away. Right. I mean,
their defense is horrendous.
I had Coach Callahan on here, and we were talking like, hey, in a month we'll get again, and that was about a month ago, and we're actually probably – we might be worse than we were then because our offense – we don't have an offense. And LeBron's been hurt and Kyrie's been hurt. Like, we don't have a system. We're not running David Blatt's system. And our defense has just been horrendous. Like, we have no identity defensively, offensively, chemistry-wise. And you add that to the mix of no bigs and a bad backup point guard – you're in deep trouble.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just go off this. I love Kevin Love. Like, that sounded weird, but I really like Kevin Love at offense. He is a great offensive rebounder.
He's used correctly.
Now, his defense is atrocious.
It's pretty bad.
He doesn't raise his hands up. Just watch. He won't raise his hands up one time. He gets bodied up on defense the whole time. He gets rebounds, but I mean, that's a situation, like, he is just there.
Yeah.
But he can't guard a big guy in the NBA.
No, he can't. Like, if you look at the Eastern Conference and who he's going to have to guard. They're just going to run isolations at him.
They will. And he'll get, I mean, I hate to say, but he would get destroyed.
And we've talked about this a little bit. I don't want to steal other people's stuff, but like I've heard Windhorse talk about it. I've heard Jalen Rose and the guys on NBA, ESPN stuff. I've heard Simmons talk about it. And I think the word exposed is harsh, but it's true because I think what I've heard so much of and what you watch is that he's being exposed in the fact that he doesn't match up with a center. And what that means is on Minnesota, he had that monstrous guy. I can't even remember. It's like Peck or something. I think that's his nickname. I mean, he's a 280 pounds, massive beard. Like, yeah. He's the biggest dude in the world, so everybody had to match their biggest dude on him. Well, the Cavs don't have that. So if you have a 7-1 defender on the team playing the Cavs, he's not guarding Tristan Thompson. They're putting that dude on Kevin Love. And offensively, that's going to be tough for Kevin Love. And then defensively, it's been a nightmare. And we're just not very good. Like, when you look at the step back that LeBron has taken athletically, hey, if you don't believe that LeBron has taken a step back athletically or that he is somehow much more hurt than they're letting on, I need you to get online on YouTube and look up LeBron James 2014 highlights. And it's staggering.
Yeah.
To see how far he's dropped in just a short time, he's almost got to be injured. I mean, it literally looks like he fell 8 years off a ledge.
I mean, because you sent me that video link and I watched it, and he's on the Heat, so I'm guessing probably January, February, March-ish, yeah, which is 5-6 months ago, not that long ago. He is getting alley-oops off the backboard. He's eye level with the rim, and I haven't seen that once this year.
No, and even his jumper, like I said from the first game I saw him, like his jumper looks flat. Like he's that, and that's the only thing that's giving me hope that hopefully – this is weird that I'm hoping he's injured. Like, there's just something not right, and I'm hoping it's his injury. And I don't want to go into this tonight. I didn't really want to talk about LeBron's injury because I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I hope you're right because you'd hate to see it just get old.
Yeah.
It's hard.
But basically what I'm seeing is that now we have Kyrie who's solid, but as we're matching up in playoffs, we've got Kyrie and then a terrible backup. We've got Shumpert who can play. J.R. Smith, who's on and off. We got LeBron, who's hopefully going to be LeBron. We have K-Love, who is struggling offensively against centers and getting killed defensively. We don't have any height. Tristan Thompson, 6'9", is our biggest dude cleaning up the glass. It's going to be a really uphill battle. And now, I really hope that – and here's well, the last thing I want to say about this. I really hope that the Cavs don't panic. I think the first time LeBron was here, they panicked when they realized that he might leave, and they brought in all these old vets and they put together a team that had no chance at anything in the future. And I think a part of it, when he left, we fell off so bad because we lost him, but we also had built this horrendous team to try to keep him here, and it just fell apart. And I really hope we don't do that again. I really hope that we're somewhat patient and grasp that this is a 3-4-5 year plan, not a 1 or 2, because he can't go anywhere. He knows that. Anybody who thinks he can leave and have any resemblance of a legacy is out of their minds. And so we have to be patient. Like Cavs fans, be patient, patient, patient. The Bible says patience is a virtue. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And I don't have a lot of patience, but I'm trying to have patience with the Cavs and grasp that this is not going to happen this year. I hope LeBron realizes that. I hope that David Griffin realizes that. I hope that you as a Cavs fan realize that and grasp that maybe year 2-3 that this could happen.
I agree. I was in the same boat, championship year right when he came. And like you said, after the years gone by, I realized that we need a few more puzzle pieces to get this rolling. So
yeah,
I think 2-3 years we'll be a top team. And that's really not bad. If you told me right now you have to wait 2 years to be a championship level team and contending, I would say,
great. Well, compared to where we were, I mean, yeah, that's the thing is all of a sudden we got so entitled as Cavs fans, and I'm including me because I did too, like, we were horrendous, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, we have to win. And it's like, well, wait a second. Like, this is Cleveland. Like, let's take a step back. It's not being titled here. That's if you'd have told any of us, like, the last summer before LeBron came back, like, hey, in 2 or 3 years, like, you guys are going to have a realistic chance to contend, we would all take it. And so let's just be cool with that. You good with that?
I am great with that.
I'm good with that. And I'm going to keep preaching that, like, patience with this. Because if we can – say we can get a – we're going to have some room. That cap is going to take a massive leap in a year or two. We're going to have some room to go get a big. we're going to be able to, hopefully with our pick in Oklahoma City's, maybe trade that into something. We're going to be able to pick up a point guard.
Yeah.
And this can happen. I'm not saying we got to get rid of Love. I don't think it's a set thing either. That he's resigning or not going to resign. Like, I think it still can happen. I think this whole thing can come together, but it's probably not going to be this year. All right. That's really all I got to say about the Cavs. You got anything you want to add?
That's about it. I think we covered it. So
I feel good about this.
Yeah, you want to get into the NFL?
Yeah, so we got about 3 minutes left. We're going quick NFL picks.
Quick NFL hits.
Tony and I both went 3-1 last week, although he took me to the woodshed with the points per game spread, and so I was in trouble there. So we are now back on even. He had owed me Subway. We are even. So this
even
one,
Steven.
This one is for all the marbles. This could put you in the lead where you haven't been for a long time. So big matchups. This is, if you love football, this is an incredible weekend
incredible
of football.
Incredible matchup weekend.
I can't imagine wanting to see some better games than what you're going to see. So let's go. First game Saturday is Carolina at Seattle. Carolina is an 11-point underdog. Who are you going with, Tone?
I'm going to go with Carolina, not to win, but just to lose by a touchdown.
That's
a huge
spread.
It's a lot of points. I think it'll be closer than it looked, or than it seems on paper. Carolina having a losing record, because Cam's playing. I know he missed a lot of passes, but he's playing pretty good in December.
Yeah,
I think he'll carry that on in January, and I think they'll lose by, like I said, touchdown, maybe field goal.
I'm gonna go Seattle, even though that's a huge spread. My thinking is, like, I still don't trust Carolina. I don't think, like, Carolina got a game for a part of that they were losing to Ryan Lindley, who had the worst performance in the history of NFL football. Like, the Cardinals literally could not. You can't tell me Tim Tebow couldn't have done better.
Tim Tebow would have done a ton better.
So,
I just don't get it.
I don't think we learned anything. I don't think that we learned anything like Carolina's ready. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know what to believe with Carolina. I'm taking Seattle. They're my pick to win the whole thing. Second game, Baltimore at New England. 7.5 is what they're giving Baltimore. Tony's taking Baltimore to win.
Outright. That is my upset.
Wow.
I love that defense with T-Sizzle from Ball So Hard University.
Yeah, what in the world?
I don't know.
Ball So Hard University.
They got Haloti Ngata plugging up every hole.
Hey, is he on Adderall for the game?
I hope so. If he was last week, put him on again.
Yeah.
He was a stud. And Joe Flacco, as much like
– Every time I'm ready to say he's a bum, then
he does
this
in the playoffs.
Is he the all-time like – I don't even know what the word is like.
I just know his playoff record and
it's
stats
absurd.
Are unbelievable. Like, they are literally unbelievable.
He's like the exact opposite of Peyton Manning.
Exact opposite. Like, he has gone in to beat Tom Brady twice in the playoffs at New England. So I think they do it again.
All right, I'm taking Baltimore to cover, and I really wouldn't be surprised if Baltimore wins that game. But I have a hard time betting. I don't know.
Tom
I'm taking Baltimore
cool.
to cover. Yeah, and I don't. There's no matchup for Gronk. If that goes well, it we'll see. All right, Dallas.
This is
the
my
one
favorite game.
Win. Dallas is 8-0 on the road, going at Green Bay, which is 8-0 at home. Who you got? They got Green Bay. They're giving Dallas 6.5.
So, I think this Aaron Rodgers calf issue is a bigger issue than it seems that they're putting on to be.
Are you putting on your doctor's hat?
Yeah.
What's your diagnosis?
I'm saying it is, like, I think he either slightly tore or strained his calf really bad.
Do you have sources up in Lambeau?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, they
called me down. They said, hey, Aaron Rodgers, he hasn't practiced all week.
So you're saying he's got a partially torn calf.
That's what I'm saying.
Gastrocnemius.
So if he plays, I feel like he hurts it again or doesn't play well. So I'm going with Dallas.
Wow.
Like I said, they've been a stud on the road.
Wow.
Tony Romo, as much as I shellacked him.
Tony and I got into a text argument. He was killing
Tony Romo. He's just
Tony Romo.
I call him a loser.
And I kept defending him. I said, he's not a loser. Like, he's good. He's just struggled a little bit. I was so happy for Tony Romo to win that game.
And so was I in the long run.
He's just a good guy, and he's a good quarterback.
Today was the anniversary of his botched fumble.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, he's a loser. But
right.
He got back, so I think they win.
Man, so I don't know who to – I'm taking Green Bay. I'm not going against my boy Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a sheriff. I think he is so cool, and I think it's going to be like 1 degree in Lambeau, and I just don't go against Green Bay when it's 1 degree.
If he's healthy, he'll shred them.
So I'm going with Green Bay, and then the last one is Indy at Denver. They're giving Indy a touchdown. I'm going Denver just because Indianapolis could put me in at running back, and it might be an upgrade. And I don't want to go against Boom because I like Boom. He's a Buckeye, but Boom
just
puts it on the turf.
Yeah, he's
more
just
than,
not a starting
ball
running back.
No, he's just not. Who you got in that? It's your boy Andrew Luck.
It is my boy Andrew Luck. I'm going to have to go with Denver, yeah. And I don't like Denver. I don't like Peyton Manning. I feel like he's old. He looked old the last half of the season. Didn't have any mustard on the ball.
He looked like me out there playing flag football.
Yeah, he did.
Throwing lobs.
Just lobs to Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
Who's a freak. But I'm going to pick him this week. Like you said, Andy doesn't have a run game. So, Denver.
All right. Well, I'm excited to see how it goes. We're not going to talk about the Bucks. There's just... I could talk about Ohio State for 4 hours, so we're not going to do it. We'll get back at everybody after the game. We'll recap it. Hopefully, we're just ecstatic. We'll see. I've never been – hey, can I just say one thing before we go off the air? Tony and I have talked about this before. What would I want more, Ohio State championship or a Cavs championship? And I've gone back and forth, and I've said, it's really close. It's not even close. I mean, it is not even close. Like, the Buckeyes can bring emotions out of me that I didn't know were there. Like, they can make me say things that I didn't even know were capable of coming out of my mouth. And they can, like, I cried. I had tears in my eyes when Zeke busted that run. Like, it's not even close. I just love Ohio State football. It's my childhood. Like, when I grew up and I was living in Columbus, like, I ran around the backyard pretending to be Joey Galloway with my shirt cut off. And then I was Terry Glenn. And then I was Eddie George. And, like, that's just who I was. And so I love Ohio State. Like, this is what I want more than anything, for them to win this game. And if that means that I only get one and the Cavs never win a championship with LeBron, I'm sorry. I'm taking Ohio State.
Can I say, you want to hear some upsetting news?
Yeah.
I got an email today. They're not canceling school.
Well,
Monday or Tuesday.
Just email them back and say, well, we're canceling school. See you later. We're not going to be there.
I know. There's gonna be, if they win,
there's going to be no one there.
No one. Because I guarantee you they'll shut down High Street.
Do you think you'll flip any cars?
I mean, not me personally. Maybe a few guys and me. But, yeah, I would flip a car.
I'd probably flip a car, too. Maybe light a few fires.
Yeah, I'd be just the greatest time.
Well, if you do light fires, just make sure there's not any...
I probably won't light fires.
Yeah. Don't get shot.
I won't get anything crazy. Yeah, I won't do anything crazy. But
all right.
I'm going to ruin for the Bucks on Monday.
So that's all from us. We're going to say it. We can stop saying go Browns. The season's over.
Ugh.
We'll just say go Bucks. Like, we are all go in Bucks. On you guys. We love you, Ohio State football team. Like, do us proud. It's been so fun to watch, like, this state just go crazy. And so we're so excited. So Bucks, we hope you guys are just incredible. Cavs, we've lost hope. No, we've lost hope, but we really hope that things will mesh and that this can be the start of a beautiful 3-4 year process.
Sounds good.
And maybe that's what this is. So thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great night and stay warm out there.
RIP Stu Scott.